Good morning, church. All right, we got a few people alive and awake this morning. That's good. I hope that you had a great 4th of July weekend. I hope, maybe even more importantly, that your air conditioner did not quit on you this past week. I was going to give a free advertisement to a certain person who's a salesman at a certain HVAC company in the Mid-Ohio Valley, but he didn't even bother to show up today. So, you know, he loses out on the whatever business for the millions and millions of people that watch our services around the world every week. I should probably do this because I don't know everybody in the room, which is actually a really good thing. We have been growing and continue to add new families to our church, which is awesome. So if I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you yet, my name is Brett Hauer. I have been a member here at FBCW since 2017. I was on staff at the church for 3.5 years as the executive and discipleship pastor, and now I'm just happy to be a member and be a part of what God is doing here. Probably the most important things you need to know about me, I am married to the wonderful and beautiful and all the other adjectives, Brooke. If you're looking out in the crowd trying to find a woman, you know, roughly my age who you think I would be attractive enough to land, I promise you, I have way outkicked my coverage, okay? Got that out of the way, just trying to score some brownie points here. And we have two awesome kids, two boys, they're 6 and 4. Their names are Cameron and Grace, and they're running around here. And we love being a part of this church. This is a family thing for us, and we're excited about what God is doing. I went to college at Ohio Valley University, OVU, over in Vienna. It doesn't exist anymore. Rest in peace. And thankfully, I got enough copies of my transcript before they closed in case I needed them. But when I was in college, the guy who was the president of the school was a guy named Harold Schenck. Dr. Schenck is a great man, very wise man, a wise leader. He was a great professor of Old Testament and theology prior to being a president and prior to getting into academics. He was a pastor of a very large church in Memphis, Tennessee. He was the preacher there for 25, 30 years. Just a lot of growth and a lot of great things happened during his ministry. And while I was in school, I had the opportunity to have lunch with him one time, just he and I. And we sat and we were talking shop. We were talking about preaching, talking about ministry. And one of the questions that I asked him was, you know, hey, how did you decide what you wanted to preach about? You know, how did you come up with sermon series? And he introduced me to this kind of concept or framework that he had that he called the Great Intersection. And it was kind of a dramatic name, but, you know, he's a preacher. So, like, I got names for everything. And what he said is, he said, imagine, you know, an x-axis and a y-axis. And he said that x-axis, that horizontal plane, is kind of every question that every human being has about the world, about faith, about the way things work, about, you know, struggles that they have, all kinds of different things. Anything and everything that our church is struggling with or wrestling with, you know, that's on that x-axis. He said the y-axis is what Scripture has to say, the truth that it shares about every topic, you know, that Scripture talks about. He said basically it was very simple. Wherever those two points met up, that's what I would preach about. And I thought, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And I've been thinking about that kind of thought over the last few weeks as we've been preparing this series. We are starting today a series, you can see it on the screen behind me, called If I Had to Choose Just One. And we're talking about the book of Proverbs. And this series is really a larger desire for our church here in the back half of 2026 to focus on biblical wisdom. Proverbs, as you may know, is the book of the Bible that focuses the most on wisdom, what it is, you know, what it provides, where it comes from, how to use it, how it looks in your life. It's a book that personally for me has been really important and formative. One of the spiritual practices I have is to try to read through the book of Proverbs every single month. It's easy to do. There are 31 chapters. You just pretty much read one a day. It's been really important for me for several years now. And so this series is going to focus on Proverbs and the wisdom that is found within it. And we're going to kind of do it in a different way. The only, and this may be music to your ears, but the only like traditional sermon you're going to hear from one person is going to be the sermon you hear today from me. And then over the next 3 weeks, you're going to have the opportunity to listen to three different couples from our church. You're going to hear from Mark and Kristen Elliott. You're going to hear from Tony and Becky Postlewaite. You're going to hear from Rich and Marilyn McClure. And they are going to share about the Proverbs, the specific Proverbs, that have really impacted their faith, that have shaped their lives, their marriages, their families. And they're going to kind of apply those practically for you. And I think it's going to be worthwhile if you miss a week because you're traveling. I encourage you to follow up online. And additionally, we are actually in the process of planning out a Sunday morning Bible study during our Sunday school hour that's going to focus on the book of Proverbs. It's going to allow us kind of to walk through the book in a reflective way. That's going to start on Sunday, September 13th, so the Sunday after Labor Day, and it's going to run through the end of October. And if you don't normally participate in our Sunday school offerings, I would encourage you to consider doing that. So I think that's all the intro we need. I think that's all the housekeeping items and announcements. I'm going to ask if you would to pray with me, and let's just quiet our souls and our minds and center ourselves, and then we're going to jump in together. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for the gift of your scripture. Thank you for the gift of being able to worship in public with freedom. God, we know that is a joy and a privilege that is not enjoyed by every other brother and sister on the face of the earth. There are so many of us today who are worshiping in secret all around the world, and we pray for those to remain faithful. God, I pray over this few minutes together, and I pray that you would open our eyes. You allow us to see ourselves clearly, and more importantly, to see you clearly. I pray that you would open our hearts to your truth. And God, during this message today, if there's anything in it that is just of me, if it's for my benefit or my doing, I just pray, God, that you would just move it aside. Because we're not here today so that we can hear from me. God, we want to hear from you. And we ask that you speak to us because we're listening. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So as I mentioned at the beginning, I am now a dad, and maybe you agree with this. One of the best parts about being a dad is the funny things that your kids say, right? The phrases, the things that they kind of latch onto, the context in which they use them, and you know, our two boys are hilarious. They say funny stuff, and that's good because sometimes they're really annoying and really frustrating, so it kind of balances itself out. But my wife, Brooke, is a third grade teacher at Marietta, and last year she was teaching on the human brain. And apparently, I don't know if you know this or not, but apparently your cerebral cortex, which is the surface of your brain, it kind of folds or wrinkles into your skull so that it can, you know, the surface area of it can pack more surface into your skull. And so that's why if you look at a picture of a brain, it's kind of wrinkly because it's kind of folded in and compressed. And so the idea is that the more surface area you have, you know, the more neurons you have for processing information. And so the general idea is that the wrinklier your brain is, right, the smarter you are. And therefore, the smoother your brain is. Well, you know, and if you don't get it, if you don't know what I'm about to say next, maybe your brain's not that wrinkly. I'm just saying. Okay? So Brooke was telling the boys about this one night at dinner, and man, they just thought this was the most awesome thing that they have ever heard. And the idea of people having smooth brains or wrinkly brains, it just became a huge part of conversation pretty much every day in our household. You know, they'll be watching a TV show and the bad guy's plan will get foiled and, you know, he'll get defeated and they're just openly mocking the guy, pointing and laughing, like, ah, he has a smooth brain, you know? I mean, it's true. They argue about it, you know? They argue about who in our family has the wrinkliest brain, which, of course, is obviously me, right? I don't know why they have to argue, but they do, right? So I just want to get this out here today. If you ever meet my kids and they tell you that you have a smooth brain, blame my wife. She's the one that told them about it, okay? That's why I did the nice things at the beginning. You know, I was trying to balance. But, you know, this kind of new vernacular for us, it has had its advantages for me, too. You know, I'll give you a good example. When I am driving in the car and somebody cuts me off in traffic and I honk my horn, I kind of do one of these things and grit my teeth, you know. What they don't tell you is when you don't have kids and you honk the horn in the car, no one ever asks you why you honked your horn. And you obviously know why you honked your horn. But when you have a six-year-old and a four-year-old in the back, they want to know why you honked your horn. And I never really had a good answer before. But now, I honk the horn, I get mad at somebody, I just tell them, well, the person in front of us is not a very good driver. They have a smooth brain. And they get it. You know, they get it. They don't ask any more questions. And in my defense, that's a way better thing than the other things I could say about the people that cut me off in traffic, right? You know, I don't know if this has always been the case. Maybe it just seems this way because social media allows people to share every thought and opinion that they have with the world at large, but it doesn't just seem like there's a lot of people kind of smooth brains in our world today, right? I mean, maybe to use a more biblical term, there's just, when I look out, there's just a lot of foolishness. And you just scroll through Facebook, watch the news, pull up to a youth sporting event, see some of these parents and how crazy they are, right? They're just, you see it, you know, people being foolish, undisciplined, unrestrained, lacking emotional intelligence, lacking wisdom. And it's easy for us, it would be easy for all of us to sit here for a long time and to think about situations we've been in or people that we know who just, their decisions just make you scratch your head. It'd be easy for us to sit and laugh about the folly of other people. But the topic becomes a little bit more serious when our own lack of wisdom comes into focus. Because you see, what my kids don't know yet, they're too young, but what they will learn, and what we know to be painfully true, even if we don't like to admit it, is that we're all prone to foolishness. And see, that's why we're doing this series, because it's relevant. Because the only way to combat foolishness is through wisdom. If we are all prone to being foolish, we all are in need of wisdom. And thankfully for us, wisdom is not very hard to find. In fact, as you read through Proverbs, one of the things that you're going to see is that wisdom is readily available to you. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to encourage you to open up to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to start by reading the first 11 verses together. Proverbs 8, 1 through 11. It says, "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, 'To you, O men, I call. And my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous, and there is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They all are straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." this passage in Proverbs 8, which is one of the most well-known of all of the Proverbs. It tells us that not only is biblical wisdom available to us, but it actually calls to us. It reaches out to us. It beckons us to use it, to learn from it, to live and to thrive by it. You actually find a very similar call from wisdom at the beginning of the book in Proverbs chapter 1. There's this theme that runs through the book of Proverbs that wisdom is the initiator in relationship with us. And just to be clear, to make sure we're all on the same page, this wisdom that we're talking about, it comes from a very specific source. It's not the wisdom you find in those artfully designed Instagram posts on Facebook, you know, Instagram and Facebook. It doesn't come from the TikTok reels with the ambient music and the person who's speaking in kind of a hushed, compelling tone, right? It doesn't come from self-help books or from watching cable news or, you know, from your friend who's always gossiping. Like, it doesn't come from any of those sources. No, true wisdom's origin is much more sacred than that. And so we're actually going to stay in Proverbs 8, and I want to flip down to verse 22, and we're going to read down through 31. We're going to see where wisdom comes from. This is wisdom speaking. It says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man." When we read this portion of the text, what we find is that biblical wisdom is ancient. It has existed since the beginning of time. It is woven into the fabric of everything that God has ever done or created. Wisdom is as close to God as anything or anyone can be, and it always has been. And here's why this is important. It's important because wisdom, if wisdom was there at the beginning, then it means that wisdom, it implies that wisdom knows how the world was supposed to work. It knows the way that God set it up originally. And therefore, it stands to reason that to follow wisdom in our lives is to follow God's design for our lives. And I don't know about you, but that's pretty appealing to me. To have access to the original intent, the way it was always supposed to be, to have a sure and a steady roadmap to navigate life, a GPS that never loses service, never loses connection, is never wrong. Especially with the dysfunction and the uncertainty that lives in our world, don't we all long for a way forward that we can count on? But the reality is that following wisdom is much easier said than done. If it was easy to do, everybody would be wise. And we've already established that none of us are wise. But our problem isn't that we don't have access to wisdom. We know that wisdom calls to us. Our problem is that we don't answer that call. And why? Because foolishness, it strokes our ego. It taps into our emotions. It satisfies our impulses in the moment. It scratches the itch of our desires and our vices. We feel excitement. We feel an endorphin rush when we speak and act without thinking, even if that feeling is fleeting. Foolishness gives us an illusion of freedom and control. But in reality, it is a heavy, costly burden. When we act in foolishness, we are admitting to ourselves that we would rather have our hands on the wheel of a car headed straight for the ditch than be in the passenger seat of a car heading to safety. And that's exactly why we need wisdom. Because we've already proven to ourselves over and over again that we are not capable of independently driving our lives anywhere good. Our heart, our desires, our impulses, they are not to be trusted. Our brains are too smooth. We are too prone to the missteps and the regrets that come with being foolish. And so we need to answer a different call. And what I want to do today is I want to drive this somewhere kind of practical. And I want to talk about what happens when you turn away from foolishness. What are the benefits for you of answering the call of wisdom? The first thing I think we need to talk about has to do with our perspective. Because wisdom prevents you from fixating on the short term and forgetting the long term. This is kind of where it starts. One of the primary reasons that you and I are unfit to lead our lives is because far too often our vision is poor. Not our physical vision, but when it comes to our perspective. You see, one surefire way to ruin your life is to think about every decision you make through the lens of the immediate and not the ultimate. To prioritize satisfying whatever the desire is right now, instead of stopping and asking, what is going to happen if I do this? That's how you become a slave to instant gratification. It's how people rack up $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in credit card debt. It's how you end up stuck in a bad relationship or a bad marriage with someone who doesn't share your values. It's by not thinking about what the consequences of actions are. And if you read the Bible, you're going to see stories of this play out all throughout Scripture. I think one of the best, maybe the best, is the story of Jacob and Esau. You remember this story, these two brothers, right? And Esau is the oldest, and he's out in the fields, he's working, he comes in, he's super hungry, he's famished from all his work. And what Scripture tells us is that he comes to his younger brother, and he asks for a bowl of stew, and Jacob makes this request, and Esau, for some reason, gives into it, and amazingly, Esau gives up his birthright, his future inheritance, his future power as the leader of his family, his blessing from God as the oldest child. He gives it all up so that he can eat a bowl of stew. True story. Changed the course of history, okay? That happened. Why in the world would Esau do that? Because he was fixated on the short term and he forgot the long term. And that's what we do. That's what we do all the time, is we lose sight of what's beyond what's happening right in front of our face. And so that's why we need wisdom, because what wisdom does is it slows us down. Amen. It puts the brakes on before we get too far down the road, and it asks us, am I going to regret this tomorrow? I know what this would do for me now. I know why I want to do this right now, but is it worth it? In our moments of greatest vulnerability, which is when the urgent need, the urgent desire is shouting at us, demanding from us, wisdom brings reason back to the table and reminds us of what the ultimate goal and purpose is. Without wisdom, you will always fall into the temptation of making what is right in front of you far more important than your future. Wisdom prevents you from fixating on the short term and forgetting the long term. And in turn, practically, this helps you and me avoid the colossal mistakes that ruin our lives, because wisdom also guards you from self-destruction. Amen. Have you ever known someone who just made a terribly, terribly costly, foolish decision? You think about that for a second. I mean, just think about people in your life. You know, just they made a choice, right? They made a series of choices that just, oh my gosh, it just did not end well. You know, maybe someone who made a very risky bet financially, and for whatever reason, it didn't work out, and it didn't pay off, and it wound up destroying their finances. You know, someone who over time slides into a destructive habit. They didn't mean for it to happen, right? But that habit over time, it costs them significant money or health or relationships, or in the worst of circumstances, even their life. You know, the married person who gets caught up with someone who's not their spouse, and through a series of choices, they wind up blowing up their family. The executive who takes a shortcut at work and loses everything they've built in their entire career. Maybe one of those scenarios or another scenario like it applies to you. Maybe your foolishness and your decision-making, it left your life in shambles. All of your own doing, and you didn't mean for it to happen. You didn't start out trying to get there, but you ended up there. And see, this is something that I talk about a lot. It's something I'm starting to try to talk about with our kids. I've said it from this stage before, but church, it's just so true that the quality of your life will never rise above the level of your choices. Your decisions, more than anything else, determine what your life is like. More than your circumstances, more than your past, more than your genetics, more than your brain chemistry, more than what everyone else around you does, you and the choices that you make determine both the quality and the direction of your life. And so if you're sitting here today and you're saying, man, I wish I was in a different spot. I wish I was different. I wish I was better. I wish my life was better. Maybe some of those things are outside of your control, but I would encourage you, look at your choices. You cannot have a good life without making good decisions. But the problem is that our foolishness prevents us from making the very choices we need to make in order to have a good life. And so we need wisdom to help us make choices that are worthy of a better future so we don't blow our lives up. Because wisdom, and this is important not just for us individually, it's important for other people. Because wisdom not only guards us from our own self-destruction, it also protects others from the fallout of your foolishness. And maybe this will appeal to you more today. You know, one of the greatest reasons to answer the call of wisdom in your life isn't just for you. It's for your family, for your friends, for your coworkers, your neighbors, anyone and everyone who relies on you in any way. They need you to be wise. Going back to those scenarios from the last point, the financial ruin, the affair, the fraud, the addiction, those tragedies, they don't just affect the person that they happen to, they affect other people, often in long-lasting and negative ways. And so by definition, if wisdom is going to help you, keep you from making foolish decisions that can ruin your life, it will also protect others from the consequences of those foolish decisions because it's preventing them from being made in the first place. And so if you're a dad, your family needs you to be wise. If you're a wife, your husband, your kids need you to be wise. If you're a leader in your business, the people that work for you, the people that work with you, they need you to have wisdom. They are counting on you. And maybe you're here today and you're kind of on the flip side of it. Maybe you're dealing with the fallout of somebody else's foolishness. Maybe someone handed you a grenade that you didn't create and it blew up in your face because they didn't make wise decisions. First of all, I'm sorry if that's the case. I'm sorry that you have to deal with adversity that you did not cause. But I also want to encourage you that that story of foolishness doesn't have to be your story. You can choose to make a different choice. You can choose to seek wisdom. And when you do that, you are not only protecting yourself, you are protecting others. And that leads us to the next point, because wisdom, what's great about wisdom is that it doesn't just lead us away from something, it doesn't just protect us from things, it also leads us towards something. Wisdom leads you away from chaos, and it leads you towards peace. I don't know about you, but when I look at the state of the world, okay, and I try not to quite frankly, I try not to think about it too much. I try to just control the things I can control because it makes me sad. Okay, but when I take the time to look out at the world at large, the number one word I would use to describe it is chaos. It's chaotic. I see it up close on a personal level with people that I know. I see it in our communities, in our states. I see it certainly on a national and global level. Chaos, depravity, ruin, people and a world and a system that is just totally and utterly lost. And when we encounter that chaos, our innate desire, right, is to find peace, to find shelter from the storm. That's the very origin, in fact, of many of our terrible decisions. We're seeking refuge. We're seeking calmness in the chaos. But the problem is, because of our foolishness, we don't go to the right places to find peace. And we and the people that we know and love, they suffer the consequences of our failed quest. And so I just want you to hear this is like straight from me. This is straight out of my life, okay? If you are looking for peace today, I'm just going to give you some advice. Take it or leave it. But if you're looking for peace today, it does not come from scratching the itch of your impulses. I've tried that. Didn't work. It doesn't come from giving voice to whatever thoughts or emotions you have going on in your mind. Tried that too. Didn't work. It doesn't come from living to try to satisfy your ego or your desires or finding comfort in your emotions. Tried all those things. Didn't work. Those are foolish pursuits. Take it from me. Where peace does come from is from placing your life in someone else's hands. Someone who is consistent when you are flaky. Someone who is strong when you are weak. Someone who sees the whole big picture and has it all under control when you can't see past 3 inches in front of your face. Someone who embodies wisdom when you are prone to foolishness. If you want peace in your life and in our chaotic times in this world, you cannot get it within yourself. You can't get it from within your family or any other source. You need a different path, and more than that, you need flat out someone else to be in charge of your life. See, more than anything else, what wisdom provides to you is it saves you from being subject to an unworthy ruler over your life. I'm going to say that again. Wisdom saves you from being subject to an unworthy ruler over your life. And just to be extremely clear, if I haven't stepped on your toes already, I'll step on them now. That unworthy ruler in your life is you. It's you. And it's me in my life. And until we put on wisdom, and until we surrender to a different ruler, you and I, we are slaves. We are subject to someone who is not fit to lead. I'm in HR. I hire and fire people for a living. I would not hire me based on my merits to run my life. I would fire myself. And I need to fire myself. And you need to fire yourself. So when you answer the call of wisdom, what you are doing is you're doing just that. You are saying, I am not worthy. I am not capable of managing my own life and securing my own future, but I need someone who is. And it moves you off the throne of your heart, and it puts the one who created wisdom in the first place in his rightful place. When you answer the call of wisdom, you are giving yourself over to God's design for your life, and you are surrendering to his rule and reign over your life. You are taking your mirage of authority and control and freedom, which isn't real, but you think it is, and you are turning it over to the King who is worthy, capable, consistent, and wise. And I could talk about this forever. I could say this a million different ways, but there is no better way to make this point than Proverbs already does. So if you have your Bibles, one more time, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. You might know this passage from memory. It's maybe the most famous in the entire book, but it says it so succinctly and so perfectly. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Church, I know that you want your paths to be straight. We all do. We all want to know which way to turn. We all want to arrive at the right place. We want our lives to be good and our futures to be secure. But Proverbs tells us plainly, you don't get there by following your own ways or leaning on your own understanding, because we are prone to foolishness. We are unworthy rulers over our lives. So if you want a good outcome, answer the call of wisdom. Follow God's design, not your own. Be saved from being subject to an unworthy and incompetent leader over your life. And you will find that you are prevented from fixating on the short term and forgetting the long term. You are guarded from self-destruction. Others are protected from your foolishness. And you are led away from chaos and towards peace. This is not the path that leads to gratification. This is not the path that leads to validation. This is not what scratches the itch in the moment. This is not what satisfies those urgent desires and that urgent need to feel approval or success. But it is the long game. It is the long haul. But I promise, if you answer the call to wisdom, you will be able to look back 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now, 5 months from now, and realize that your life is better because you are living in the design that God has established, and you are living under the King who is worthy of leading your life. So surrender to that worthy King and answer the call of wisdom. Let's pray.